My name is Catherine Stosis. So I grew up as a shameful, shy person. Going to school, I sometimes was mocked. So evenings I would go in a closet and cry to God. And the way I found comfort gave me a desire to seek God and find out more about Him. This was the first time I committed my life to Him, as in just that, a commitment. From being someone who feels like he's nothing, it gradually changed to having pride in who I was. On the outside, I felt I was a pretty good person, but there was selfishness in my life. I knew I wasn't who I tried hard to be. As it most times is in a self-centered person, there are a lot of hurts. I would get hurt very easily by what someone said, and I'd also get offended very easily. Especially the spring, before I got baptized, I would often repent. Every evening I would repent of some sin or some mistake I had made that day. I'd even be sorry that God created me and that I lived on this earth. I hated me and my life. I hated my sins. Sometimes I felt God calling me to have faith in Him, to trust Him that He could give me a new life. But no, I didn't believe that. Because of my unbelief, God couldn't give me a new heart. It was also because of my unbelief I continued in that trying very hard to overcome, trying hard to be like a Christian. I had friends, and we talked to each other about all our struggles, and together we tried to be Christians. I had no victory, and I always failed. I was a very depressed person. Every day I would read the Bible, sometimes hungry for the Word of God. Other times I could read a whole chapter thinking of something completely different. After we were married, life was very easy at the time. Looking back, it wasn't, because I didn't have the joy of the Lord in my heart. I became lukewarm and then cold. During devotions, Paul would pray, then he asked me if I want to pray, and I couldn't. So I quit praying. I was rejecting God. Soon it became real that I was in darkness. I was in bondage. I wanted out, but I could do nothing about it. Always before I tried, and by trying really hard, it seemed I could almost do it. But this time it was different. I knew only God could save me. It became real that there was a wall between me and God. Living in separation from God was total misery. I lived in fear. For a week and a half, the only time I prayed to God was that I could see my sin as He sees it. Maybe God was looking to see how desperate I am, that it almost took 2 weeks. He then did just that. I repented of rebelling against God, of selfishness, of lukewarmness. The work that God then did was marvelous and very real, that He brought me out of that misery. By the grace of God, I experienced joy and peace, and it has lasted. The Bible became living and real. Today, the Christian life for me is a challenge. It also became real that it definitely is a battle. But when we abide in God, He is always faithful. Today, I desire a believer's baptism, and I feel blessed to be here.
My name is Paul Stolzfus. One of the main memories I have of growing up is extreme anger. At a very young age, I had very good parents. My My dad went to Harmony Haven, 2011. And he had a big change in his life, and we started with family devotions, and that was the most uncomfortable thing that could happen at that time when we first had devotions. For some reason, that my very being rebelled against it. And I had such extreme anger. I'd wake up in the morning feeling so mad that I had no outlet. And I remember getting up early to do chores and walking up the cow walks between the two lines of cows, and feeling the anger so intense that it destroyed my growing up years. I had an anger so strong that I'd fantasize about killing people, and of course I knew that I wouldn't do it, but it was a way that I found to kind of release my anger. So then my anger lessened a little bit as I grew up till I was 13 or 14. I started with masturbation, and of course anger was still a problem. And at first I didn't quite know if it was wrong or not, but I became very convicted that it was wrong. And then at the age of 16, I started becoming convicted of sin. Before that, I had no conviction of sin. I knew I was in total misery, but it was around the age of 16 that I became convicted that my life is, that I am going to hell, and that there is no way out except through Jesus. For some reason, that was imprinted in my mind. I still can't say why, but I knew if I repented of my sins, God could take my sins away. But I had the unbelief that maybe he wouldn't. So I would I'd go to bed in the evening, because that's when it was worse. And being so convicted of my sin that I couldn't sleep, and in my mind I knew the way out. And there was one time I actually did kneel down, but then every time I almost repented, almost, I knew I had to give everything. Every time I almost did it, these thoughts would come. Well, maybe you won't be able to overcome your sin afterward. And then in my mind, I knew that if I do this, there's no turning back. And there was that fear that if I do this, maybe I can't. I didn't have a concept of being free from sin. And I read enough literature that God could give me a new heart, but yeah, I was stuck in that. So in the age of 17, I started instruction classes because of the fear of what, I guess, peer pressure or whatever. And I remember the day of my baptism. That morning, I almost did not go. I felt so much like a hypocrite doing this, and I knew it was totally against what God wants. But I decided to just go through it. And I'd say after that is when my conviction of sin, or I still had conviction of sin, but my conviction of giving my life to Christ stopped. It was after that time before that I always wanted to be a Christian, but after that, well, I just kind of gave up. So, my life became darker, and during that time I started with suicidal thoughts. So I read a lot, and I'd read a lot of stories, Reader's Digest, I'd read storybooks way above my level. I'd read adult books at the age of 10, and my younger brother threw that also. So I'd read a lot of stories about people killing themselves, suicide, and I'd always, whenever I read that, I'd be like, why would people ever do that? I couldn't understand it. But at the age of 17, or after that winter, I was 17 and a half, I started. It scared me a little bit when I first had that thought of just ending my life. So it didn't go far because I knew better than to go through those thoughts. I knew where those thoughts would end, so I never went there. But those tempting thoughts still came, but I couldn't keep them from coming every once in a while. So the winter before I became 18, my parents told me my name is in Harmony Haven Home to be as a resident, that it's going to be in a week or two I'm supposed to go. And at first I resisted that thought and told myself I'm not going. But then during that time, right after when they told me, I started thinking that I've been up there a few times, and I saw how Dad's life had changed over that time. He wasn't nearly as angry anymore. And I started thinking maybe if I go, there will be people there to help me. So I actually became reserved excitement. I went up there. I was like, maybe this is the answer. So I did. Well, of course, my parents didn't know that I wasn't wanting to go, but till the day came, I went. And they had a lot of clear teaching there. Or, you know, a lot of sound teaching. Back then, I did thought it was the real thing. After a week there, I became very convicted of my sin. And I remember of they had a prayer closet. It's in the classroom. They have a separate prayer closet. Of just going there and repenting of my sins. And two sins was anger and masturbation. And I don't remember much how I felt, except I just came out and was like, not a lot. Just my life was just like, I felt kind of drained. But the next few weeks, I found out I had a joy. Before that, I always performed. I was the perfect person, in a way, to outsiders. At home, I was the most angry, depressed, vicious person. One time, unknown to my brother Abner, he was out in the shop, and was out in the shop during the night, or he was working on his tractor pretty late. We had bedrooms out in the shop upstairs, and I became so angry at him that because he was loud and I couldn't sleep, that I actually did take a gun in my hand, and by the grace of God, I never shot it. But so during that, right after I repented, I had a joy and a freedom that my sins are gone. And I just soaked in scripture. We had classes and sessions. Never got much out of our counseling sessions, but the class discussions, I was wholeheartedly in it. And I remember I was there for a few weeks, and then, but first I want to say that I hardly know what to say and what not to say about Harmony Haven, because our whole group has had influence of Harmony Haven Home and Michigan Circle Teaching, and that is why, I'd say that's why our whole group cultivated a hunger for truth. But, remember counselors saying that anger is not sin. It's what, if you are angry, if you act out of your anger is when it's sin. I'm feeling shocked, like, what? But I accepted that. I was like, okay. So after I did that, I had no anger there at Harmony Haven Home. I had no reason to get angry, I guess. But because I allowed that grayness in my life, it influenced my whole life. So I went home, and I was free for, I'm not sure, a few months, 3 or 4 months. But when I became angry again, well, it's not sin to be angry, so where do you stop? And the same with lust. Well, because I allowed that grayness to influence the rest of my life. Now, if I lust a little bit, well, where do you know when to actually stop? Next time, a little bit more. So I went back in my sins, and I had no way out, or it felt like I had no way out. I always repented when I became too angry or lusted too much. And I always searched God. I'd say I grew a little bit spiritually during that time. I had a sense more of a need of myself, of something real. Then, but I knew I wanted to start with courtship. And I knew if I was in my sins, I'm not going to start with courtship if I have those sins in my life. So by self-effort and discipline, I overcame, so to speak. Well, not overcame, but I quit doing them. So I stumbled a few times, and we experienced a lot of things in our courtship that was very hard, and I depended on the Lord to help us. and we had a pure courtship. I entered marriage with a sense of freedom. I looked forward to it with joy and with a pure conscience. Back then it was a pure conscience. And it felt like a pure conscience. But then this spring, well, we started getting together with brothers. That was a little bit after we started with our courtship. It was 2 years ago, a bit more than 2 years ago. And I'd say that's why I kind of stayed free from sin over that time. My hunger for righteousness and truth was more than my hunger for the world and sin. And I repented of lukewarmness over that time. I still thought I was a pretty good Christian. And I was very sincere in it too. But then this spring when one of the other brothers explained as the top blue, always before this, I figured I'd be Amish all the time. And I knew better than saying that, you know, Mennonites or whatever are wrong. I knew better than that. But for me, it's Amish. It's to stay Amish. And over that time, I realized my security is in my church. And not necessarily in the church I was, but in whatever church I go, the standards they make for me are my guidelines. Then I know how far to go. I know what to do and what not to do. And now leaving the Amish, I knew we were probably become excommunicated. I had no security. I realized how much my security was in whatever church I would probably join. We knew we'd sometime leave Park County. So I then repented of not having trust in God. I realized that my trust was actually total in the wrong place. So I experienced a freedom over that time, and a joy and a peace that I hadn't felt since I was in Harmony Haven. I'd say that was when I broke through. And since then, John and Barry have been coming out for group discussions. We've been going to Shelbyville for a few months. And after this one group discussion, so this grayness was still in my life a little bit. I knew what it was to be free from sin, and I understood it, actually. I could talk about it. But to see sin in my life, there was like a curtain there. I couldn't see the sin in my life. And after that group discussion, I went home, and for some reason, I couldn't sleep well that night. I had thoughts about new birth, and I couldn't understand why. I got up early the next morning, and then it was that day or the next day at work. It just dawned on me that the tiniest little bit of sin is actually sin. Before that, sin to me was more the obvious things, and, you know, I knew unbelief was sin, and all that. And I shared it at brother's meeting the next time. I thought I was free from immorality, but I'd find myself every once in a while. I told at brother's meeting, I'd explained it as once a month, 99% victory, or I should say 99.9% victory. You know, seeing some indecency and looking, and then catch myself like, whoa, that's too far. And then I'd not look again. I didn't struggle with lots of thoughts. But I'd catch myself doing that every once in a while, and just, you know, at the time it troubled me a little bit, but then it'd go away. All of a sudden it just dawned on me that that is sin. That down to the very seconds, I'm not having power over that because I did not call it sin. So I repented of that. And before that, I had a desire, you know, I'd go to Walmart, and I didn't even recognize it at the time, but just wanting to be tempted a little bit. Just wanting to be a little tempted. And the main thing I repented of was desires. And those desires have changed. It was something I never experienced before to just have just to have the very desires change. So So since that, God has been working in my life. And one thing I wanted to share was in Romans 7. I was thinking about how when someone becomes convicted of sin, how that sin increases. Romans 7, 8 to 15, it says, But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. And then it says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. That wasn't the verse there. Oh, before that. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Before this I'd read it and think that it's the current Christian life. But that's the past. Philippians 2:15. One verse. So before this, well, after I became converted in Harmony Haven, I'd think a lot about why is the church today not the same as it is in the Bible, as the Bible portrays the church to be. And this spring I found that out, that it is real, that the Bible can't, that the true church of Christ is actually, the Bible talks right into that, that it matches up. And, Philippians 2:15 says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And that has become real to me, that to have a joy and peace and excitement about the future. There's no more fear about, well, what if our church has fights or splits or what then? But that if we abide in Christ and we love it, love our brothers more than we love ourselves. Yes, may we, the way is narrow, but let us press on. God bless you.